The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line today. Yesterday we were talking about the energy efficiency, the Green Living Grant, the energy efficiency scheme, and how it figures for you. Hope you found it useful yesterday. We were with two ministers, Treasury Minister Dr. Allenson and Claire Barber, the DEFA Minister, as well as Angie Lund from the energy efficiency team. Apologies yesterday, we had some glitches. So 66 13 68 wasn't working yesterday. Hope it's going to be working today. If you want to call 66 13 68, text 166 177, WhatsApp, same number, or email studio at manxradio.com. But any questions about what was said yesterday about this decarbonisation workstream? The number, lots of people have asked for the free phone number to find out more about the scheme and to see whether you qualify, how much you can get, and what you can get. Paid for by public money. The number is 0808 162 4276. 0808 162 4276. And they'll probably be able to tell you where the roadshow is going to be in the future. Any thoughts? Oh, the new leader of Douglas Council says he hopes to continue improving housing standards. Devon Watson was elected as leader of Douglas City Council. And he wants to improve the services carried out by the local authority. He beat David Cretney 8-3, and he'll be leader for 2 years. And we'll issue an invitation. Devon Watson's been on before. He's talked about housing quite a few times, talked about his plans. An advocate, oh, he was when he was on last time, talking about free public transport. Well, I wonder what could happen. Anyway, congratulations to Mr. Watson, now the leader of the local authority of Douglas City Council. Let's hear what he had to say.
I am absolutely thrilled. I can't wait to start working with everyone, working with officers and working with government to get on with the job, really.
And you were up against some strong competition there when people nominated David Cretney. But how will you be working with the new councillors going forward? There are a few in the new election as well.
Yeah, no, David, I'm a massive fan of David. He's got a fantastic mandate. He's actually helped me get elected in my very first election a few years ago. And I cannot wait to work with him. And I'm really thrilled that with two members from the Manx Labour Party were nominated onto the floor. And the fact that we've got six new councillors now, at very least, depending on the vacancy, is brilliant. It means as though we've got a brand new council, brand new ideas, and people are willing to serve the people.
So how do you think your experience on the council over the last few years will now help you in your new role?
So we know how the institution works, so we can hit the ground running. There won't be that period of, oh, we don't know how procedures or standing orders work. So we're able to continue the work that we've done in housing, continue the work we've done in sort of improving housing standards and getting that done. We can continue the work of improving public services, particularly when it comes down to waste services delivery and trying to create a more affordable rates environment so that both businesses, homeowners and renters can continue to live in Douglas and can continue to make the city what it is.
Well, congratulations once again to Devon Watson, the new leader of Douglas City Council. Hope to hear him on air soon. 12 minutes past 12, and David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. It was an interesting programme yesterday. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later if I can. I want to draw to the people's attention to something that's on another channel, which is 3FM, which is the Manx Utility are asking local suppliers, but it doesn't say local suppliers, it says suppliers to supply water meters for their network. So a couple of questions there is, are water meters coming? Is it going to be that people are going to have a choice to have a water meter installed? And B, I don't know why the advert doesn't say from local suppliers, because remember, Andy, we still have this unofficial, and it was sad not to get on the radio yesterday to question the Treasury Minister, to say, do we still have this policy where if the supplier locally is in with like 5%, it's a preferred contractor? Do you remember?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to think. That was a while back, wasn't it? I wonder if that's still in force.
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. But maybe our network of people, or your people, can actually tell us, is it still happening? And is still local suppliers on the island in this particular case? By the way, it's a little criticism for 3FM, if they're listening as well, is the picture they put up is not a water meter. That's a pressure gauge off a boiler. All right?
Right, okay. Well, I'm sure they'll be listening. Don't worry. They always listen.
I'm a plumber, so I know. The other thing was really disappointing from and not getting on to is both ministers and the lady that was from the department there said that they were going to put a scheme together to include PV panels. And it's not going to happen until September. Andy, where are we now? It's the good weather. When would you want things done on your roof in the summer?
You bet. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
can't the politicians...
Yeah, somebody queried that yesterday and just said it's not starting until September. So, as you say, the work's not going to be done until 2026.
Yeah, yeah. Is it to save money? Treasury Minister, maybe he'll come on and tell us if he's listening. I'm sure they'll be listening today because they didn't get much of a reaction yesterday because of the gremlins.
We had tons and tons of messages in, and lots of them were talking about confusion as to who qualifies for which scheme, because there are two schemes, the Green Living Grant and the Energy Efficiency Scheme. Lots of people were saying, just put it under one scheme so everybody knows where they stand.
And that's right. And the other thing is, because I was aware of it some time ago when we wanted to invest into PV panels, which we did at Duncan Football Club, is we weren't eligible for help. Now, they're talking about charities in the future. The most of the charities are going to help government in any way, shape and form. So why can't charities or organizations not for profit or gain be included into getting energy efficiency appliances put in?
That's a very interesting question. That's a really interesting question. As you say, they're not in it for the money.
No, and we're certainly not in it for the money, but when you want a bit of help, and I've got to thank the Lottery Trust. The Lottery Trust, if they're listening, were excellent. And I would have... And other people that supported our club were excellent in any way, shape or form. And little simple things, like even a few hundred quid. There was a fella going on about air tests. I'd love Trevor, I think his name was, to contact me. And I'll give me a number, out my mobile number. Don't mind doing that. 429-808. Because I want to talk. Because I'm trapped in a situation at the minute. I need an air test done. Fairly reasonable and cheap. To comply with little government regulations. You know what government regulations are like, don't you?
Yes.
They're there to cause a hindrance, aren't they? when you can't get things done.
Okay.
Unless I want to go to the College of Federation and take a course for the next 3 years on an air test.
Okay.
All right, Andy?
Good to hear from you.
There was lots of things there yesterday should have been answered. Okay, it wasn't their fault, but one of the major things is, why bring a scheme together? What's the government for? Prioritise stuff. Make it come forward. It must be ready to roll, because otherwise they wouldn't be announced it like a big headline then drop us all saying it's going to happen in September.
Well, I mean, and when we weren't on the air, I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, but Claire Barber said, the important thing is that people apply. She said the funds are going to be there, but if you're eligible, people really need to apply. So I think the more information we have, and they are going to be coming back later on this year, probably around August time, to talk about it a bit more. So hopefully we'll connect the phones up that day.
Well, my application will be in, and I'll let you know how it's going to happen.
Okay.
All right, mate.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. It's 18 minutes past 12 now. And again, lots of messages came in yesterday. We couldn't get to them all. It was a really busy programme. And I think they've agreed to come back later on this year just to see how the scheme's going and exactly how you can plug into this, because there is public money available. Taxpayers' money is available to improve insulation in the house. And lots of comment about condensation and what you do. When are you going to sort out social housing? Was one note in from 930. They said, you bang on about green living, where most council houses aren't fit for this. It's funny how social houses aren't covered by the landlord's bill, which you introduced. Well, they did mention yesterday that social housing is covered because it's all about the tenant. It's not about the property. It's about the tenant. And many people also mentioning burping the house, open every window for 10 minutes every day, and that should get rid of condensation and consequently mould. And it was interesting how Dr. Allinson was talking about the health benefits of keeping your house well ventilated. Firstly, they said block your chimney to stop natural drafts. Surely that will cause problems with mould. It's contradictory. Well, perhaps if you've put one of these balloons up the chimney, very interesting to hear about that, but the balloon up the chimney which stops the draft. So have you done that? They mentioned that on the program that technology is changing at a rapid pace, and with a population of 85,000, perhaps we should sit back and slow down and see what the best option is for us in the future. We're not going to halt climate change, but we can follow what's going on in the world. In the meantime, we do what we can afford. I thought it was interesting to hear what Angie was talking about LED bulbs nowadays. And she said they're a lot better than, do you remember the low-energy ones that came out 15, 20 years ago, which lots of people may still have. If you bought lots of them, you're stuck with these things that take about 20 minutes to warm up and still aren't that light. The ones nowadays are really good, but that's really one example of how the technology has changed. So, text, email, call, WhatsApp regarding the Green Living Grant. Does anybody in government not think, why should hardworking taxpayers be taxed to allow others to get free insulation? Says Wolfie. And the other point is, could you ask your guests, why does the government allow Manx Utilities to abuse residents who pay for solar panels to do the right thing, but they charge us 30p for electricity and only give us 9p back when we put it into the grid? Interesting. Any thoughts on this? And a note in, when Devon comes in as the election, he says thanks to his community. So we'll see. What Andy from Saddleston, that is. Well, Mr. Watson will be invited to come into Man in Line, and I think he's keen to come in because he's been in the past. Does this mean, says John, Douglas residents will get our weekly bin collection back now we have a new leader of the council? Says John. Also, John says, I haven't heard from Wilf from Ramsey for a while. Is he okay? Absolutely fine. Wilf was okay. The reason that Wilf wasn't on Man in Line for, I think it's about 3 weeks or so, is because Wilf, of course, stood for election in Ramsey, and due to the broadcasting regulations, anybody who's standing for public office won't come on the air. It's just so they're not given an unfair advantage over the other candidates. So, but Wilf is absolutely fine and newly re-elected into Ramsey.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. Visit Pacesetter on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. Pacesetter bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Employers, having trouble with staff and need reliable advice? Employees, are you treated fairly in the workplace or do you have a grievance?
The workplace can be problematic on both sides. For any work-related legal issue, contact the employment law experts, Mann Benham. They advise employers and staff on all work-related problems with sound professional advice and a transparent fee policy. To arrange your free consultation at Mann Benham, call today on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
The Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra with special guests is staging a fabulous concert with music by Chabrier, Mussorgsky's Night on a Bear Mountain, Britain's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, and Mahler's Symphony No. 1. An evening of extraordinary music in the Villa Marina Royal Hall on Saturday, the 17th of May at 7:30. Tickets on sale now.
Radio Caroline North is back on the air this weekend, giving you a chance to win one of three Prunus Retro AM, FM and shortwave radios with Bluetooth. It's a fabulous prize and it could be yours if you enter our competition. Our broadcast is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe and we're live from our historic radio ship Ross Revenge this Saturday morning, straight after Carnaby Street, on 1368 AM, on DAB and online. It's Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes past 12. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Strange enough, what David brought up, I saw the same thing on the news about the water meters, but it wasn't very clear. It didn't say whether it was for internal, within the MU structure, or was it for household water meters. And if it is for household water meters, then we're going to have to watch what the MU are doing, because several years ago they allowed a sum of £18 million to fit smart meters electric. And that now, we're about 2-3 years down the line, and although I'm not bothered about it particularly, but how many of these electric meters, smart meters, have been fitted? Nowhere near what the situation was hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
So if, and it is, it's only two letters, but it's a big word, if the MU are deciding again here now, another brainstorm, to fit water meters to households, what sort of money are the government going to be asked for? And will it go the same road as the smart meters for the electric? It's all part of the same parcel, the MU. But on the other hand, if that's the case, if it's going to be smart meters, are we going to have the water rates abolished and incorporated into the smart meters?
Well, we don't know, do we?
This is exactly what it is.
And we can only guess. And, of course, it being the Isle of Man, if we don't get the information, people start jumping to conclusions.
Exactly. And that's what I say. It was only a few lines on one of the internet news things. And it was very poor on information. And as you say, the void will be filled in by speculation. And this is what's going to happen. So if somebody within the government could come up with a straight answer, then it might clear a few curious questions.
Where do you stand on water meters, Howard? Where do you stand on water meters?
Well, I've never had the problem with them because we don't have them fitted.
I know, but the principle of a water meter, obviously, I know your daughter I think she's in the Potterers, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in Stoke and they have water meters. I'd be perfectly honest, I do not know because I've never had to have any reaction to them, action or otherwise, because they've never been fitted to the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
So it's an unknown situation, and for them to be fitted, then it's another intrusion, essentially. But as I say, it's just what concerned me was, if it's going to be a household one, then let's have information. If it's only for internal meters within the MU structure, then it's nothing to do with the public apart from paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's but, it. If there is, and I'm not saying there is, and there may not be, but if there is a plan to put issue water meters, whether they're domestic or commercial, on the Isle of Man, it'd be interesting to know what the reason is. What's the compelling reason? Do they need to save water? Well, you wouldn't expect, really, because we're swimming in water. You know, we only need a week's rain and everything will fill up again. So is it money? Yep. Is it trying to sort of change people's behaviour? You wonder why they do that.
Well, this is something I came on a few weeks ago with the government wanting to get more involved with the steam packet, because there's a little booty. It's called a profit. And at the moment, the electricity company, which is under the wing of MU, have serious debts. And they could be looking for the assets out there to strip and pay off their debts at the cost of the public. But they've been very secretive, keeping their powder dry. And unless they come up with something constructive and somebody comes out with a straight answer, which I'm not expecting anytime soon, then speculation is going to run rife as to what is happening within the MU. So it's another one. They say transparent government. I would say opaque is the word they're looking for. But it's answers, not little poses is put out there and leaving the people curious as to what's going on.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
It's
bye now.
29 minutes past 12. I found it annoying yesterday. Dr. Allenson kept saying the schemes were about reducing the cost of living, but the MUA is charging 29p per kilowatt hour. Yeah, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he was meaning if we can mitigate it, if you can mitigate it by saving a couple of hundred pounds a year. Doesn't sound much, but it's £4 a week, and that builds up. So if you can, and they were talking about loft insulation, the three things that we were talking about, thermostatic valves for radiators, free loft insulation, and the light bulbs, these LED light bulbs that use, and bearing in mind, light bulbs once upon a time used to be 50, 75, 90, 100 watts, 120, 150 watts at one time. Now, these things take 5 or 12 watts. I mean, you can have them on all day long and you wouldn't use as much as you used in an hour on some old lights. So really, you need to get those low-energy light bulbs. And if they're free, well, I say free, somebody's got to pay for them, but if they're available free, then do it. If you open up your house while the humidity outside is high, won't that bring in the damp, says Gaz? Don't think so. Regarding the supply of water meters to them, to max utilities, they're not for domestic or commercial property, but to install in sections of the distribution network, apparently, which enables MU to monitor flow and leak detection, says Keith in Abulance. Thank you, Keith. Thanks for clearing that up. Obviously, leak detection is something that's really important because that's just waste water, isn't it? Desmond said, I stuck a pillow up my chimney and chimneys breathe, so no mould. Is that so, Desmond? Was it a new one or an old one? Water is expensive, says Marie. The household will always be on the highest rate. Liam, who's in the UK, said in the UK, water meters are standard and have been for a long time. Through our water system, it's privatised. If a new system for water were to be set up, there are many people who would stand to benefit. I know that's a vexed question in the UK about the money that's made from utilities ever since the electricity and gas and water were privatised over there. And Daphne dropped a note in just to say, also they're pulling another massive wind farm out of Europe. They must tell our government a thing or two. Did you see that? Orsted mentioned, I think it's the Hornsey, an enormous wind farm off Yorkshire, East Yorkshire. So there we are. We don't know. We'll find out as soon as possible. Oh, let's get back to the line, shall we? And Adam's on now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. How are you today?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
I'll just bring up about the election of Devon Watson, Andy. I'm not celebrating, to be honest with you, that you've been elected leader of the town council. Obviously, he's managed Labour Party in that. I think it's time for them to reconvene the Manx National Party and bring back a bit of conservative social democracy to the Isle of Man. I don't think he's got a very good vision for Douglas, and I don't think he's ever done anything particularly outstanding for the town. And I'm not celebrating his election. I know Devon. I know he's maybe a nice guy. He may be quite a nice bloke to talk to, but he's not got a vision for the town, and I don't believe he's got. I don't believe he's for Douglas in his heart.
What would your vision for Douglas be, Adam?
My vision for Douglas, well, Andy, I would carry out a master plan. And I wouldn't carry out a master plan like they did in 2014, when they put forward a master plan which has no hope of ever being constructed, and is just sort of lying in the sky, for want of a better expression, and is just sort of a dream master plan for the town, if ever anyone could afford it, and if ever the private sector wanted to invest in it, you could actually just draw anything on the master plan. But a master plan for the government to develop itself. And as I've said before on the programme, Andy, they need to look for landscaping solutions. And I've searched high and low to find out which company did the promenade. And I cannot find that there was any landscape architects involved in doing that promenade, Andy. And there's a company called Hardscape who sold them all the materials and worked in conjunction with Oldham Construction, who built it. And they worked in construction with the Isle of Man Arts Council and the government. But who actually designed it eludes me, Andy. I cannot find it anywhere. And the first thing you do when you're doing a big project like that is appoint a landscape architect. And what they're doing now on the promenade, the corporation and that, they're buying those new chairs they've got on Loch Promenade, which don't match the rest of the promenade.
Yeah.
They're sort of a brutalist design. Have you seen them, Andy?
Well, I can't figure out how they work. I can't figure out how they work, because half of it is just a bench, and there's a little back on the end of it. I thought they were, when I first saw them, I thought they hadn't finished them, but apparently they have.
Yeah, they finished them, but I mean, they're sort of very brutalist in design, aren't they? And if you get someone to do a master plan, they design the layout of the promenade, they do the planting, they do all of the design for the promenade, and they do what they call the furniture, which is the street furniture which goes on the street. You can have a bespoke design. So instead of doing the sunken gardens and doing three of the seven gardens and then leaving the rest of them, and I'm all in support of having a skate park down there for teenagers and an inclusive environment. I think that's fine. But that doing it all in bits is totally the wrong way to go about it, because it doesn't lead to a cohesive or good-looking finish. You know, it's the wrong way. They need to have a master plan. They need to think about what they're doing with the bus station site. You know, there's not demand for endless more offices. We've said before, there's not demand for endless more office space in Douglas. There's not millions of companies moving over.
There's plenty of office space for sale now. So, I mean, anybody who's building new offices must be very optimistic.
Yeah, so what they need to do is they need to do something to turn it into urban wetlands or some sort of sustainable park based on China or something. They could do a mini version of Gardens by the Bay, which is in play in Singapore. If you look at that, that's a really beautiful, done by Grant Associates, that one. They're a famous landscaping company. There's other famous companies you could get to design the walkway, do the walkway for the promenade. There's all sorts of them. I could name a few, Andy. BD Design, Grant Associates, Gustafs and Bowe and Porter, Martha Schwartz Partners. They need to appoint, LDA Design's another one. They need to appoint someone like that.
Right. I mean, does this cost hundreds of thousands of pounds? How much does it cost to do this sort of stuff?
Well, it's doing it properly, Andy. And yes, it might cost a lot of money to do it, but you get a good finish. And if a job's worth doing, Andy, it's worth doing properly. And also, you know, they don't have to go that high up the market. You have people like Arup, you know, Arup or Royal Haskoning, they will do it for you. So you can go down market a bit if you want to and have sort of a large company do the designs and things. But you know, if they created gardens and sustainable gardens or urban wetlands out of that area down at the bus station and the Middlemarch site, that would be something for people to walk through Strand Street to get to.
Right.
And it would create a destination at that end of town. And
that was always. I mean, the previous chief minister, Mr. Bell, Alan Bell, always talked about the whole area of North and South Quay being a hospitality zone and a magnet for people to walk towards. Now, sadly, it was a great vision, but it's only about 25% finished. So, do you think we're missing a trick by not developing North and South Quay?
I think we're missing a trick, but I think the government needs to have a master plan, which it's going to do itself. It's not depending on all sorts of private sector investment, and it's going to landscape that area, and it's going to perhaps redo Chester Street car park at the other end of the street. They need to pull St. Thomas's School down, because there's no use for that anymore, so they could redevelop that area, do that with an anchor store to get people walking through the street from one end to the other, and get a decent car park there. I mean, Chester Street's all right, to be honest. I always park in Chester Street. I think it's perfectly good for getting that end of town. But it's they could improve it, they could revamp it all, do it up nice, and get people walking through the street from one end to the other. And the promenades, they could have a master plan, a cohesive design with the furniture, the landscaping and the planting all done together so that the gardens match, so that three gardens are not different to all the rest of them. And I noticed they've grassed over the Archibald Knox, or somebody on the programme said the other day they've grassed over the Archibald Knox garden on Loch Promenade, and they have done. And why they've done that, I've no idea, because they're based on the new three gardens that they're building on Archibald Knox. And that was such a lovely garden when they used to look after it properly. Yeah. And it's declined a lot, Andy, and now they've grassed it over.
And Adam, you got through all that, and you never mentioned the festoon lights.
No, Andy, well, the festoon lights, obviously, they need putting back too. And the lights don't really work, do they? We've got, you know, glass shards falling off the top of them. And that's a danger, isn't it? It's a public safety hazard. So I think they need to take those lights down. They, as you said at the time, Andy, they belong on a motorway service station. And we need some decent lights put back up that rest and match the rest of the promenade, or match the design that they are going to do for the walkway, putting the horse trams back to the sea terminal and all that. And a bit of master planning is needed, and it needs to be realistic master planning that they are going to invest in themselves.
OK, Adam, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy.
20 to 1 it is. So when Devon Watson comes, I've written all that down. Festoon lights, master plan for Douglas, wetlands, urban wetlands. Regarding weekly bin collection, says Pete in Douglas City, when bin collections became fortnightly, I assume the amount saved by doing this would have an effect on the rates, such as a smaller increase in rates. That being the case, I'd like to know what the rates increase will be likely if the weekly bin collections were reintroduced. Well, all this could be answered when Mr. Watson appears on Man in Line. The advert for the MUA regarding the water meters is for meters that help them manage the flow of water supply around the Isle of Man. It's not about water meters for consumers. Michelle Haywood has posted that, I think, on X. Water meters won't work for me, says Bill. I use the mains water pressure to turn a small water turbine to produce some electricity. It runs my fridge, but lots of water gets wasted. Regarding water meters, says Andy, it's all about control, so the amount of water used by each household can be controlled and limited, so the MUA don't have to build a new reservoir. What do other listeners think, says Andy? Well, now we seem to have the answer in that it's for internal use where they're concerned. But certainly, I mean, we obviously our water is owned. It's in public ownership. So whereas in the UK, everything is privatised. Electricity, gas and water is all privatised. And they seem to be getting into all sorts of pickle over that with sewage in the rivers and what have you. Anyway, we'll get back to the phones in just a few moments' time on Man in Line.
Road racing is back on the island. and Manx Radio 1368 will be an essential part of it, bringing live practice and race commentary, news, travel and more to the island and the world on AM, online and digital. With airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options available now, it's your chance to reach a global motorsports audience. So contact our sales team on 682-620 or on sales@manxradio.com. Manx Radio 1368, the best biking station in the world.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Ready to dodge, dip and dive for a great cause? It's time to rally your team for the ultimate showdown. The first Isle of Man Dodgeball Championship, powered by Flutter International, hosted by Active Souls and raising funds for I'll Listen. Mental Health Awareness Week is just around the corner, so get your squad together and battle it out on the court. Whether you're a dodgeball pro or just in it for the fun, this is your chance to make a real impact. Sign your team up now at illlisten.in/dodgeball. Join us on Friday the 16th of May from 5:30pm until 9pm at the NSC.
Today at 5:30, it's Jacques Lay.
And he's obviously been inspired and made Manx music part of his life.
At Groudle, they experimented with battery electric, which was very much in its infancy at the time. The interesting thing about the electric locomotives is that we had no idea how they ever charged them.
Hall Caine certainly is the Isle of Man's greatest novelist, and also our greatest and most successful playwright.
Find out more at 5:30 today in Jacques Lay.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, faster my 16 minutes before one. Thank you, Mark, on 179. Absolutely spot on, Adam. He says Manx nationalism is sorely needed. Well, remember, there is a general election next year. So if you fancy going on a nationalist ticket, then the election is on Thursday, the 24th of September next year. Polling stations open 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Thursday, 24th of September, 2026. You've got time to have a think about it. And if you want to, get some like-minded people around you. It will be interesting. It's been ages since there's been a party on the Isle of Man with a nationalist idea. Regarding water and sewage charges, two identical houses, one with four adult occupants, the other with one. So why is the sole occupant subsidising the property with four occupants? It's an unfair system. Soul Man 713. And that's the argument that's often put forward. So should it be the property that pays or the individuals that pay? Because obviously they would use more water, more loo, more shower, more baths, more cooking and what have you. As it is, they don't. Everyone pays the same. Braddon's rates are up again this year from £300 a year 2 years ago to £500 a year for a two-bed apartment. It's a crazy price rise, says Mark. And also, the promenade looks a chaotic mess, says 068. Most of the designs are completely pointless. The new benches look ugly. Why is this obsession with modernity? London, Bath, Shrewsbury, Chester don't demolish their built heritage. Places in Cornwall keep charming old-fashioned buildings, and the tourists flock to them. No visitor wants to see ugly, modern buildings and modern road layouts. Thank you for that, 068. And Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I agree with Adam. I'm not sure if a 14-storey pair of shoeboxes will be compatible with the local vernacular either.
Oh, this is the thing they're thinking of putting on the bus station.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Bit of good news. Tongji University, the Polar Research Institute, is saying record-breaking snowfall in Antarctica. And they will say that as a result of this, the sea level rise will be slower. So there's some good news from Tongji University in Shanghai on that. Yesterday's programme, Treasury Minister said that the transition to renewables will incur significant costs. That makes me wonder where the Chamber of Commerce and Ralph Peake are getting their figures from, indicating a halving of the electrical price if we go to 100% renewables. And I think you had a caller earlier that was talking about Ørsted. And indeed, Sky News has reported that they pulled out of their vast Hornsea 4 wind project, which would have doubled the existing largest wind farm in the world. And they've incurred a £500 million impairment fee, citing market challenges. But you see, Ørsted, they enjoy a lot of business advantages. They get subsidies from the UK through the Contracts for Difference. Germany gives them feed-in tariffs. There's the Horizon 2020 EU funding framework, government-backed green bonds. And also, to help with competition, they've got the EU emission trading system that imposes carbon taxes on fossil fuel-based energy producers, which give Ørsted that extra advantage.
Yeah.
And yet, this morning, Ørsted share price has fallen even further to 252.9 Danish kroners. That's a continuous drop over the last 4 years of 82%. And now, it seems the Isle of Man government intends to become, I think, the first government in the world to not only become the first wind farm company, so I don't know if they're going to do an arm's length thing like the steam packet, but we're also going to be our own customer and guarantor. So I don't understand how that business model is going to work. And who's taking all the risk on this, Andy?
Well, the interesting point is that what used to be eco-politics has now become mainstream politics, because what you're talking about is the fact that CFDs and subsidies and what have you, it's swerved into the mainstream. Years and years ago, people who were, you know, Save the Earth and this, that and the other were around, they weren't involved in mainstream politics. And what's happened is that green politics has now become mainstream politics, and when you're in mainstream politics, the money men jump in. So business has now jumped on the back of green issues. I mean, green issues have been around since, well, I think it was the 1970s when pollution was the big pariah. And, you know, it was the whole thing about fridges and aerosols and rivers that you could set light to in America. So the whole green issues have now swerved into the mainstream, and that's where the money is now. So, and that's really, when you talk about Ørsted and the amount of money, I mean, the fact that they're getting an impairment fee, I mean, that would be like a flea on their back, Julian. They've got billions and billions of pounds. Anybody involved at that scale with wind turbines has got access to billions of pounds of capital, and also enjoys, you know, as you say, political connections.
Yeah, but I mean, despite all those benefits that they've been getting, and they did take an $8 billion impairment from the two wind farms that they've pulled out from in America, off New York and New Jersey. I mean, it seems, I mean, as far as I know, following that FOI, Ørsted, they signed an agreement to lease with the Isle of Man 11 years ago and don't appear to have paid a bean for that. Whereas normally, if it was in the UK territorial waters, they'd be expected to pay an average of $166 million a year.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've had any of that.
Well, the thing is, the situation with the Ørsted wind farm off the east coast of the Isle of Man is far from resolved, because remember, this will involve the UK government giving subsidies to a Manx-based operation. And that, I mean, that's never, ever happened before. So because all the electricity from our wind farm, the offshore one, would go back to Preston around that area, then it would be effectively UK electricity sourced from the Isle of Man. So how on earth that would work, and that will take, you know, minds far superior to mine, certainly, to work all that out. And bluntly, we don't know. And we don't know whether or not involved in that deal is the interconnector coming from Preston to Groudle. We don't know at the moment, Julian.
I think the thing that worries me, though, is they've signed a lease. I don't know if you know this, but for how long have they signed that lease for? And it's evident any company that's getting on for 90% drop in their share value. What happens if they go bust, but they're still leasing the seabed? Is some other predatory company going to just come in and take the lease from Mackles, well, and they're not having to pay anything for
well,
it?
Well, yeah, presumably, if, I mean, we're not suggesting it would happen, but the fact is, if we're talking hypothetically, if their financial model collapsed for whatever reason and the company became insolvent, then presumably somebody would come in the meantime and scoop up the assets and take over from then.
Mm. But, I mean, even for the Cairv Eye wind farm on the Isle of Man, I mean, Ørsted can't make ends meet with, you know, contracts for difference from the UK, Germany's feed-in tariffs, blah, 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 Horizon 2020 EU funding framework. We're not going to get any of that. So we're going to be blowing at least 40 million, and it'll probably be 100 million based on all you've got to do is just look at everything else. Just look at the Liverpool Sea Terminal or the promenade or anything. You've then got the current price around £233 million for an interconnector. You've then got all this grid balancing malarkey, which according to the Japan Times is in the trillions for Europe. So it must be at least in the tens of millions for the Isle of Man. We could be looking at over a billion. I mean, how much could it be to grid balance the Isle of Man? I mean,
and the point is that we only know with hindsight. So at the moment, we're walking into a dark room with sunglasses on. We don't really know. I mean, presumably the people at Ørsted, the people at the DOI and in government and treasury, presumably they've got figures and they think they know, but nobody knows for certain what's going to happen.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the costs keep spiraling. I understand that the blades are normally offloaded end on, like our RoRo is. So how's that going to work with a 9 bus lengths of a blade that's God knows how tall? How are you going to get that on the island? Are we going to have to start building a new harbour to bring these things ashore?
Okay.
Because it's not going to be easy.
All right, we've got to leave it there, Julian. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate your call.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
6 minutes before one now. I'm waiting for somebody from the Water Board to tell us what challenges they face year on year due to climate change. An advert they ran on the radio last summer, I had my suspicions that it was just a precursor to the idea of water meters. Challenges, eh? Water, the premise is the more you use, the more you pay. Simple, the government spend money like water. So let's generate more for them to say. Thank you, David and Ramsey. The next Isle of Man general election, I'm expecting there to be a reform man, a nationalist party to ensure external consultants will be kept to a minimum and more responsibility in decision-making and accountability for the civil service. Thank you, Andy, for that. Well, all I will say is there is a general election. And if you are discontent with the way things are, you have as much right as anybody to stand as an MHK, presumably, if you fit all the criteria, that is. All you need to do is, and when we get closer to the time, we'll be talking to people who will give you some advice. 24 people have to be MHKs, and one of them could be you. And today may be the day that you suddenly decide that's what you want to do. I was just at B&Q, and the 2 minute silence, there were an awful lot of people walking past me, chatting. It upsets me, the fact that they have no idea. We obviously had the 2 minute silence on Max Radio. Did I hear that right, that the dodgeball was 15? Is it Thursday the 15th? Have a listen again. And thank you also to of course, you will have low electricity prices because you won't have as much electricity, says Desmond. Is that so? For Man in Line today, open line. Oh, just a quick word. Next Tuesday, Sheila Lloyd's going to be on. Sheila's the Manx Care Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals. So if you want to talk to Sheila, She's professional lead for midwifery and nursing, patient experience including complaints, infection control and clinical governance. That's next Tuesday 13th, Sheila Lloyd, Manx Care Exec Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals. In the meantime, we're back with an open line tomorrow on Man in Life, thanks to Chris on the phones today.
WINT.